The start of the school year brought major announcements from the LA Unified School District. About half of the district's 430 library aides may be laid off, and more could have their hours cut. Next year, school will be back in session from summer break 3 weeks earlier than usual in mid-August. Of the library layoffs, recently seated Superintendent John Dacey mixed regret with justification, saying in part, quote, students learn to read through their classroom teacher, not through the library. Dacey also expressed hope that a longer school year will boost students' scores on standardized tests. During a speech given at Occidental College last week, he called LA a national leader in education policy, saying, quote, Los Angeles is America, only sooner. What does it mean, then, for the nation that Dacey is one of a growing legion of graduates from education reform-focused management training programs around the country? John Dacey is an alumnus of the Broad Foundation, which is a private non-university institution training non-educators for high-powered positions. A report by Julianne Hing at colorlines.com suggests that with Dacey at the helm of the LAUSD, LA education policy is on the same pre-programmed path as New Orleans, Chicago, Rhode Island, and the many other districts where Dacey's fellow graduates have served. The Broad Foundation is a self-described venture philanthropy organization, and its school reform agenda expressly strives to bring corporate culture into public education. Its urban education residency program seeks applicants with experience in, quote, functional business areas. A recent press release on its graduates boasts, quote, participants have an average of 8 years' experience, typically from a Fortune 500 or other major company. Julianne Hing will be filing ongoing reports on this nationwide trend for colorlines.com, and she now joins me on the phone. Welcome to Uprising, Julianne.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, specifically, can you explain to us what the Broad Foundation does when it trains these people, including people like John Dacey, in heading up educational institutions? What does it train them to do?
Yeah, so the goals are actually very, very explicit. The Broad Foundation has created this training program to create a pipeline, literally a pipeline to develop talent and get them placed into school districts so that folks can start implementing the Broad Foundation's reform agenda.
And what is the reform agenda of the Broad Foundation? Just to briefly express that out there so that we can compare it to, for example, how the Obama administration is also pushing certain education policies.
Well, you know, the fascinating thing is that the Broad Foundation, and the Broad Foundation is just one of three very, very powerful education philanthropies out there. The other two are the Walton Foundation and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. But together, the three of them have pushed a reform agenda that actually mirrors in many ways what we see being pushed by the Obama administration these days. You know, the reform agenda calls for three broad things. Linking teacher pay to their student test scores, and making teachers' job security contingent on their students' test score improvement. The second is a very aggressive move to reorganize or shut down schools that have been deemed failing because of poor performance on standardized tests. And the third is a very aggressive push for the expansion of more school choice options like charter schools or school vouchers.
So with looking at specifically the Broad Foundation, aside from John Dacey, how successful is it in churning out corporate execs and others and pushing them into high positions in public education nationwide?
They are remarkably successful. You know, in 2009, 43% of all large urban superintendent positions were filled by Broad Academy alumni. And so right now, we just filed a report on a handful of large cities: Philadelphia, Detroit, Chicago, New Orleans, Atlanta, Newark, New York, San Diego, and Los Angeles that have Broad Academy alumni at the helm.
So you mentioned they're just one of these three major institutions, including the Walton and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So between the three of them, you might find quite a bit more. What is wrong with having somebody who's had experience at a Fortune 500 company running a school district? How would you assess, that goal? Is that, some might think that was quite a good thing.
Sure. Well, there's nothing inherently wrong with anybody's prior job experience, and in fact, many people bring a high level of business acumen to these positions. But what we see this reflective of is an ideology that imagines parents and students as consumers and schools as marketplaces, and education as a commodity, if you will. And so this ideology ends up suggesting that it's competition that drives education, and it's competition that drives improvement. And, that kind of actually runs counter to the traditional American promise that high quality public education is in fact a civil right that all students should have equal access to.
Julianne Hing is my guest. She's a reporter for colorlines.com. So now let's compare the agenda of the Broad Foundation and other such institutions to the Obama administration's. You mentioned the sort of three major pushes in education reform through its Race to the Top initiative, which some might say is just another version of Bush's No Child Left Behind. Are those three major education reform pushes essentially embodied by Obama?
We see exactly these three policy points outlined in Race to the Top. And so Race to the Top, again, is a competitive grant program for states to apply to. The initial pot of money was about $4.3 billion that was set out for states. And even the structure of Race to the Top asked states to compete for money. So states filed applications, and if they showed that they were willing to adopt this agenda, they won money. Central to this is the adoption of policies that tie teacher tenure and teacher job evaluations to their students' test scores. These merit pay systems have been extremely controversial in LA and all over the country.
And speaking of teacher pay, a documentary about teacher pay called American Teacher, which was featured recently during KPFK's last fund drive, there's going to be a screening of American Teacher on October 1st, a KPFK screening on October 1st at the AMC Theater on the Santa Monica Promenade at 11 a.m. That's Saturday, October 1st at 11 a.m. The filmmaker and a special guest panel will be there to discuss the documentary as well as public education. And you can get tickets at kpfk.org. We still have a number of seats that are available that we'd love to see KPFK listeners join us at, particularly teachers, parents, anybody interested in public education. You can go to kpfk.org to get tickets for the October 1st, 11 a.m. screening of American Teacher. So now, in terms of how these how aggressive some of these alumni of the Broad Foundation and other institutions are, is it obvious to people at the local level when you get these high power folks like John Dacey coming into school districts? Are their agendas obvious? Do they expose themselves and what they're really going after in ways that turn off local parents and teachers?
Yeah, we have actually seen this. More than several, superintendents who are Broad Academy alumni, arrive in town with a very ambitious and aggressive school reform agenda and set about very quickly instituting their reforms in a way that is often very destabilizing for communities. But, at the same time, many of the communities that are the strongest targets for reform, which are poor communities, often communities of color and immigrant communities, face immense political pressure to raise test scores, to show improvement in education outcomes. And so they're constantly the target of all sorts of newfangled ideas. You know, over decades, people have been throwing new policy ideas at often the poor school districts to try to see what will stick. And so there's often immense turnover and I would say turmoil as all these different sorts of reforms are slapped on the poorest schools. And so what we see though with Broad Academy alumni in particular is often this idea that change is going to come. Many of these superintendents are given unilateral power to advance the reforms that they see fit. And so lots of folks arrive in town. We saw this recently with Arlene Ackerman, who's just been ousted in Philadelphia Public Schools. We've seen this a bit with Robert Bob, who is the emergency financial manager of Detroit's public schools. That people arrive in town and institute policies that shut down schools, that reconstitute them, that are shuffling students around, and that it's very alarming and even unattractive to the families and communities that are experiencing changes.
Well, then finally, very briefly, Julianne, do you see any instances of success by some of these graduates of the Broad Foundation?
Sure. There are some promising changes and improvements. In New Orleans, we're seeing some tentative signs of improvement. But it's actually very difficult to say. The world of education reform is extremely complicated, and it's very difficult to pin any one outcome and draw a straight line from that to any one reform in particular. But I would say, in general, the philosophy and the ideology behind what Broad Academy alumni and these venture philanthropy foundations are pushing is something that bears lots of concern and is worth holding on to and watching out for.
And certainly needs to be investigated, because so much of what they put out there is just sort of accepted as the best way to reform education. Julianne, we would love to have you back on the program as your investigation about this continues. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Julianne Hing is a reporter for colorlines.com. You can check that website for her article about the Broad Foundation. This is Uprising for Sonali Subversive Thought for the Day. John F. Kennedy once said, "The great enemy of the truth is very often not the lie, deliberate, contrived, and dishonest, but the myth, persistent, persuasive, and unrealistic."